الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس قد جاءتكم موعظة من ربكم وشفاء لما في الصدور وهدى ورحمة للمؤمنين قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers, elders, ulama ikram, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has once again blessed us with this wonderful, auspicious and beautiful day of Jumu'ah. We remind ourselves of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ. The best day in which the sun can rise is the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within our hearts the respect and honor of this beautiful and auspicious day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to send abundant durood upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to take advantage of the opportunity presented to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day of Jumu'ah, wherein Allah has kept a moment of acceptance of dua. We coincide with that moment and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept our supplications. It is a well-known fact to each and every person that he is journeying, his life is a journey through this world. It started from his birth, and every day that goes by in his life, it's just a journey, and our destination is the year after, the Akhirah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the destination of every one of us Jannah and the bliss of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But everybody understands that his life in this world is actually a journey. He is moving from one place to another. Now, while we are journeying through the life of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is such that Allah has created various companions and individuals who will accompany man in his journey through this world. So those companions that Allah has blessed us with varies from person to person, some in the form of our parents, some in the form of our children, some in the form of our spouses, some in the form of our friends and associates, but there are various people that accompany us in our journey through this world. But the system is also made in such a way that all the companions that we have in this world, there will come a time when we will part from those companions or they will part from us. None of them are going to be with us forever. So sometimes a man will harp and he'll allude and he'll glorify the fact of how much he loves his spouse and he can never ever do without her. But there will come a day when they will have to part, when that company will have to part. Similarly with friends, a person say, you know, I'll give my life for you and I'll be there for you all the way and whenever you need me, I'm there. But there will come a time when those two companions will have to part. So let's pose a question to man and ask ourselves all a question that of all the companions that we enjoy in this worldly life, who or what is the most faithful companion to man? Who or what is the most faithful companion to man? That's a very, very valid question, and I'm sure everybody wants to know what's the answer to that. Because if we are going to enjoy so many companions in this world, and there's going to come a time when we're going to part with those companions, who's the most faithful of them? Who's going to be there with you all the way? What is going to be there with you all the way? The answer to this is very, very simple. Of the various companions that we enjoy in our life through this world, there is one companion that will be there for us every step of the way. There is one companion that will never ever depart from us. There is one companion that will ensure that goodness comes our way every step of the way. What is the definition of a companion? Let's ask ourselves that question. A companion has various meanings and definitions. Some of the definitions of the word companion is a person who will travel with you, a person who will assist you, a person who will tend to your needs, a person who will never ever let you down. That's the definition of a companion. So the most faithful companion to insan and to mankind is none other than the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the most faithful companion. That is such a companion that's going to be with you every step of the way. That's such a companion that will never ever depart from you. And inshallah, in the process of the talk today, we will really come to realize and we'll highlight just to a certain extent how great is this companion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Let's start with our lives in this world. How does the Quran and your relationship with the Quran benefit you in this world? Now, many a times we've heard a lecture on the Quran, on the greatness of the Quran, on the beauty of the Quran. But it's always to a great extent confined when there's a Hifz Jalsa, students are qualifying. Somebody has bahated the Quran, so now we're talking about the greatness of the Quran and we glorifying the hafiz, the person who has bahated the entire Quran from cover to cover. But before we go into our discussion, let's take a moment to realize that all the virtues that are spoken about of a hafiz of the Quran, all the merits of that person who is associated with the Quran is not confined and exclusively to that person who has bahated the Quran from cover to cover. Everyone seated here knows Suratul Fatiha, part of the Quran. Every one of us are securing a part of the Quran in our bosoms. The amount of surahs that we know is something that is secured within our hearts. We have a relationship with the Quran. As much as that hafiz is a protector of the entire Quran, we are definitely protectors of a part of the Quran. This is a great honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every one of us to a certain extent are included in those merits of the person who has protected the Quran and of the various bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are showered upon that person who is associated with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. First and foremost, remember one thing, the fact that you have established this companionship with the Quran and you have this relationship with the Quran is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala automatically raises your rank in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises your honor in this world. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah yarfa'u bihadha الكتاب أقوام ويضع بها آخرين." Through this Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the ranks of individuals. We enjoy in honor, we enjoy in prosperity in this world, we enjoy in so many benefits, and many a times a person, he attributes this to his effort and he says, you know how hard I worked for this, you know how much of effort I put in, I did a lot to achieve this in life. But little does he realize it's not only because of his effort, it's because of that portion of the Quran that he has secured within his bosom. It's because of that Surah Yasin that he recites at the beginning of the day. It's because of that Surah Fatiha that he recites in that Salah that Allah is raising his status day by day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking him from strength to strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rising him from position to position. Allah raises people through this book, through this Quran, this great ni'mah and this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's how your companion, the Quran, firstly benefits you, that your status is raised. Automatically you are exalted and you are raised above the rest of mankind. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. Very, very famous hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fact that you have that bond and that link with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala automatically enables you to become part of the best of mankind. I'm not saying the best of mankind, it's not by the standards of man that you become the best of mankind, it's by the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he says the best of you, the finest of you are those individuals who are engaged in learning and teaching the Quran. Learning the Quran, we all went to that maktab, we went to that madrasa, we sat in front of the teacher, we learned the Quran. Automatically we are exalted to become the best of mankind by the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many, there's times that we should look within ourselves and really feel honored that the fact that I have protected a part of the Quran, the fact that I'm able to recite the Quran in the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah I will be from the best of people. May Allah make it a reality within each one of us. And then that's in this world. This Quran benefits you. Now, from a point of reward, let's ask, we're always interested of how much we get in. I mean, that's the general mindset of man. He wants to know how much he's getting for everything. For every letter of the Quran, well-known, famous hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that for every letter of the Quran that you recite, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you 10 rewards. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La aqulu alif lam mim harfun, walakin alifun harfun, walamun harfun, wamimun harf. That alif lam mim is not one word, but alif is one letter, lam is one letter, meem is another letter. By that alif lam meem alone, you get 30 rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's just look at Surah Fatiha, the most read surah in the universe. Have we ever pondered how much of reward we get only by reciting Surah Fatiha? How much of your, for every letter, Alhamdu, Alif is one letter, Lam is one letter, Ha is one letter, Meem is another letter, the Dal is another letter. Just for the word Alhamdu, how much of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you recite Quran in Salah, the reward is multiplied further. Can we imagine on a daily basis how much of reward this Quran and this companion is securing for us in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without us even taking notice of it? Is this not a great companion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with? It's something to really ponder about. The next time we read in Surah Fatiha, just take a moment and visualize while you're reading the surah how much of reward you're getting. All the other surahs of the Quran, Surah Yasin, Surah Tabarak, those surahs that we recite on a daily basis, how much of reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with. That's only in this world. But the reality of man only starts when he leaves this world. That's why a person said, he said, sometimes we live as if we're never ever gonna die. But when we die, it's as if we never ever lived. Because now when reality starts, it's a whole different scenario. Now a man looks back at his life and he wishes, how I wish things could have been different. He hopes, how I wish I could have done things in a different manner. Now when reality starts, and when all other companions now distance themselves away from you, every one of us have witnessed janazas, we've been to funerals. You go there, everybody is emotional, it's a difficult time, it's a hard time. The janazah is taken to the graveyard, the man's family is there, his wealth is with him, everything is moving to that grave. Once he's lowered over there, yarji'u, everything returns, everyone goes away. You are left alone. As I mentioned earlier, there will come a time where every companion will depart from you, or you will depart from them. But this faithful companion will never ever depart from you. So now when all other companions are distant, and now you're put in that grave, now how faithful is this companion, this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the time you leave this world, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that al-mahiru bil-Quran ma'asafaratil kiramil barara, that person who was a expert in reciting the Quran, that person who exerted himself in the recitation of the Quran, he will be in the company of the noble and pious angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the rest of the hadith, وَمَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ, that person who recites the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهَا, and he finds it difficult, it's hard, it's sometimes he has a stuttering problem, sometimes those words are just difficult for him to come upon his lips. But what does Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? وَهُوَ شَاقٌ عَلَيْهِ, the man never ever gives up. Now how many a person sometimes excuses himself just with the notion that, no, I'm gone old, man, it's hard, I can't learn. How many an elder person who is present in this gathering was not born in the time of technology? When he was born, things were very, very different to how things are now. He could have never imagined when he was young that technology would have evolved and reached the level that it is now. But we kept abreast with everything. We took the time to learn everything. We took the time to excel in everything, irrespective of how difficult it seemed outwardly. How many a man says that, no man, this technology is not for me, it's fine, I can't do all this electronic banking, I can't. Today the old man, he's on Twitter, he's on Facebook. So we kept abreast with everything. We enhanced ourselves in every way. We moved with the times. What about when it comes to our deen? What about when it comes to this faithful companion? Shouldn't we also be moving with it? So shouldn't we also enhance our ability to recite the Quran? And look at the reward. وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ, the one who finds it difficult, the one who finds it hard, but he still wants to have this honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He still wants to secure this mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلَهُ أَجْرَانَ, he gets double reward, more than the one who has perfected his recitation of the Quran. You see the difference between man dealing with man and man dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When man is dealing with man, when there's a sign of weakness, man takes advantage of that weakness. When there's a sign of weakness, man will trample upon that weakness. That's when man is dealing with man. I mean, look at it. Look at the system of the world, in what manner it's moving and what direction we move in. That the one that excels, he is always on top. The one that falters, the one that finds it hard, he's always dropped at the bottom. The scholarship, the bursary, who it's given to, the one who has excelled. But the one who's really trying, I mean, it's a fact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created every person with the same level of intelligence. Everybody is not going to be brilliant. Everybody is not going to be an A student. Everybody is not going to be a millionaire. This is the beauty of the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has created these varieties within mankind. There'll be the one that's brilliant, there'll be the one that's not so brilliant, but the one that's not so brilliant can be much more brilliant in other ways than the one that is brilliant. That's a fact. Every individual is unique in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every individual has such capabilities that none of us can imagine. You might be weak in something, but you might be brilliant in something else. There's no man that can say, I'm brilliant in everything. But the system of the world, when man is dealing with man, the moment weakness is spotted, the moment there's a deficiency, man will capitalize on that and he'll trample on it. You'll take advantage of the man. Or you might look down on the man, but you will not appreciate it to the level that it's supposed to be appreciated. But when man deals with his creator, when man is dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when there's weakness, there's more mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when there's a deficiency, there's more from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can there be anyone who can be more noble than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kareem, the one who gives without you even deserving. Such a Rabb, Allah is Allah. Such a creator we have, such a nourisher we have, such a sustainer we have. Deal more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see the difference in your life. Deal more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see more of His mercy rush your way. But when you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there's a deficiency and there's a weakness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you more. And then when a person now, again, when you put in that grave and all companions are gone, and now the angels come to question you, the bodyguards, the companions, the faithful Quran now comes to your rescue. Now comes and says, don't trouble this man. This man is under our care. This man is under our protection. You can't come near him. Leave him, let him rest in peace. Every step of the way in the year after, when humanity will be in difficulty, when humanity will be running from left to right, that's the day that Quran, that faithful companion, will never leave you for a moment. A few weeks ago, I spoke on friendship, on friends, and there I mentioned the statement that a person said, everybody wants to ride with you in the limo. Everybody wants to ride with you in the limo, but what you need is somebody to walk with you to the bus stop when that limo breaks down. So everybody wants to be with you when things are good. Everybody wants to be with you when things are rosy. But what you need is somebody to walk with you to the bus stop when that limo breaks down. Now let's look again at this faithful companion. Everybody will ride with you in this world. Everybody will accompany you in this world. But not when the bus breaks down, when the world breaks down, when the world is finished, when everything is broken down, that's the time this companion will not walk with you to the bus stop, but will hold your hand and take you to the doors of Jannah. That is this companion, this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But provided we had that adequate friendship with the Quran, provided we had that bond with the Quran, look at the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see what an integral part the Quran played in their life. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the first Khalif of Islam, how is he described? كان رجلا بكاء لا يملك عينيه إذا قرأ القرآن. A man full of emotion, the moment he would read the Quran, the tears would flow from his eyes. Umar radiallahu anhu, the second Khalif of Islam. Every one of us have hectic days, we have busy schedules. When a man comes home, sometimes there's various activities that a man will indulge in the moment he enters his home. But there are some who enter their homes fuming and frowning. May Allah save us from ever being like that. Enter your home with salam, enter your home with a smile, and see the difference in your life. See the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have various activities that we indulge in. So sometimes a man comes home and he's hungry. Hungry man is an angry man. Sometimes a man comes home and he just wants to switch off. He just wants to relax. Umar radiallahu anhu, إذا دخل البيت نشر المصحف وقرأ القرآن. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he would enter his home, the first thing he would do, he would open the Quran and read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Uthman radiallahu anhu, the third Khalif of Islam, what a statement he made. May Allah make that statement a reality in every one of our lives. He said, ما أحب أن يأتي علي يوم ولا ليلة إلا أنظر في كتاب الله. He says, there must never be 24 hours that pass in my life without me having the opportunity of looking in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must never be a day that passes in my life that I do not see the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means I do not read the Quran. Now let's pause for a moment and ask ourselves the question. Sometimes it's not a day. Sometimes it's days. Sometimes it's weeks. When was the last time we looked in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When was the last time we read the Quran, this faithful companion, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is my relationship with this companion? This faithful companion who's going to be with me every step of the way. This faithful companion who's going to help me when nobody can help me. How faithful am I to this companion? It's the right of a friendship that you be as faithful as is given to you. That is the right of a friendship. That is your duty as a friend, that you also be faithful to the man. Let it not be that it's such that the Quran will come on the day of Qiyamah with certain individuals and say, Ya Rabbi, inna abdaka, oh my Lord, the slave of yours has abandoned me. He never had time for me in the world. He abandoned me in the world. Let it never ever be like that. Let it be such that we are faithful to this companion in this world, and this companion will be faithful to us every single step of the way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our recitation of the Quran. They say when Uthman radiallahu anhu passed away, his Quran, the pages of his Quran had become worn out. Why? Because of excessive recitation. Today there are also Qurans being worn out in the world. But it's not because of excessive recitation and excessive turning of the page. It's because of the dust settling on the page in the shelf. That's why it's gone old. That's why it becomes tattered. Uthman radiallahu anhu's Quran became worn out because of his recitation of the Quran. That's how, what a part the Quran played in their lives. We need to take out time on a daily basis to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping in mind how much of reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us, keeping in mind that the fact that we read the Quran, we in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today everything is being read. How much of literature is being read? The news is being read. So we're reading things that we're not supposed to be reading. We have time to read everything from cover to cover. People, what they termed as bookworms, will read an entire novel, 1,000 pages from beginning to end. We enjoy that. We have book clubs. Where's the Quran club? Where's the Quran worm? Where's the one that's attached to his Quran? Where's the one that loves his Quran? Why is it that we don't get... Uthman radiallahu anhu also made the statement and he said, لَوْ طَهِرَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ If people's hearts were pure, they would never get tired of reciting the Quran. They would never get satisfied with the amount that they have recited the Quran. But what he said, if people's hearts were pure, if only we know what is this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is this Quran, then that's the only thing we'll be reading. Now we're not saying we mustn't read anything else and all other literature is bad. No, we'd also encourage literacy and reading. It's very, very good. It's good. It benefits mankind. But balance the scale. Have time for that book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have time in our homes to read the Quran. When the Quran is recited in a home, just as we look up on a starlit night and we enjoy the beauty of those stars, every home that the Quran is recited shines onto the heavens and the malaika enjoy the view of those stars. They shine onto the heavens like stars. So we look up and we say, what a beautiful starlit night. Those homes that are brimming with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels look down and they look at these homes as stars. That's how beautiful it shines to the people of the heaven. Today, what our homes are shining off? There's darkness in that home. There's evil in that home. We removing the barakah from that home. Read the Quran in your home. Enjoy the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're reading the Quran, you're in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, ya on the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens, in the company of the malaika, he's saying, Hamidani Abdi. My slave has praised me, Muhammad has praised me. So you think you're just reading on the earth, your mention is being made in the heavens. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a reality for every one of us. What an honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. The living miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what? None other than this Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other companions of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hold the Quran, would kiss it, would cry and say, Hada kalamu rabbi, Hada kitabu rabbi. These are the words of Allah of my Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the book of my Lord. When was the last time we showed affection to that Quran? What a beautiful sight it was when I first walked in here. And there were so many elderly people holding the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reading the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can there be a better honor for a man than for him to be reciting the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes this is something that we might take for granted, but wallah, this is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under the verse commentary, فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ The commentators of the Quran mention under this verse that لَوْلَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَسَّرَهُ عَلَى لِسَانِ الْآدَمِي مَسْتَطَاعَ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْخَلْقِ أَن يَتَكَلَّمَ بِكَلَامِ اللَّهِ Had Allah not made the Quran easy to come on the tongues of men, it would have been impossible for any human being to utter one word of the Quran. Allah had to make it easy to come on your tongue. It's a miracle that you witness on a daily basis. It's a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we actually read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll end up with a story just to further inspire us that what do we get when we don't understand what we get when we read in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was an old man who had a daily practice of reading the Quran at a certain time in his home. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again make that a reality for that, for us as well. So he had a young grandson who would on a daily basis watch his grandfather. This was his practice. Certain time he would sit with his Quran and he would be reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the youngster would sit next to his grandfather, would watch him, and then after that he wouldn't say anything. So one day he asks his grandfather and he says that, "Oh my grandfather, I'm watching you for very long now and I sit with you, you take the Quran, you sit, you open the Quran, you read it. But I know for a fact you don't understand one word of this Quran. So tell me, what are we getting when we read the Quran?" Now this old man was very, very wise. He did not give an answer immediately. So he tells his grandson, he says that, "Oh my grandson, there was a fireplace nearby there and there was a basket with all the coal for the fire over there. So he says that, "Oh my son, tell me, do me a favor, take this basket, go there to the river, fill it with water and come back." Now take note, it's not a bucket, it's a basket full of holes. So the son, the child doesn't really realize at that moment, so he is enthusiastic. The grandfather gave him a command, he takes the basket, he goes there to the river, he fills it with water, but by the time he comes back to the grandfather, there's no water left there. So the grandfather tells him that, no, my son, listen to me, you got to come back faster, there'll be water there. Go try it again, let's give it another shot." So the child goes again, and this time he hurries back to his grandfather, but it's the same scenario. The grandfather tells him, no, you're doing it too slow. Let's give it one more shot. Come back faster. I'm telling you, there'll be water there. So the child now, he's enthusiastic. You know, youngsters, they want to prove you wrong. They want to show you their strength. But little does a youngster realize that by him showing his strength, you know, they say there's no man more wise than a person of experience. There's no person more wise than a person who's been through life. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant youngsters the realization that if they follow the guidance of their elders, definitely they will see success in this world. But you're going to rely on your own intelligence, you're not going to go very, very far because you haven't seen what they've seen, you haven't been through what they have been through. So now the child runs fast and he comes back, still no water left in the basket. So the grandfather tells him, "No man, you're not doing it right, try again." So now he becomes upset. Nowadays youngsters, they don't have the patience like before. So he says, "Listen, yeah, you're wasting my time. No matter how fast I go, it's impossible for water to be in this basket. I'm not wasting my time. I'm not going again." So the grandfather tells him, "Okay, my son, tell me something. Look at this basket and tell me, do you see anything different now?" So now the child takes a moment to pause. He looks at the basket and now he becomes wonderstruck that there's a world of difference. Now he thinks, when I first picked up this basket to go and fill it up with water, it was full of all the dust of the coal. It was black, it was filthy, it was dirty. But the fact that he had went and put water over it on one occasion, water the second occasion, water the third occasion, now this basket is shining. So from it being black, now it's gleaming silver. There's a world of difference between when he started and now. So he looks at his grandfather and he says, "There's a big difference. First it was filthy, it was dirty, now it's shining, now it's clean." So the grandfather says, "Oh my son, now you have your answer. Even though you never managed to retain a bit of water in that basket, look at the effect that the water had on that basket. We might not understand the Quran, but the mere fact that we're reciting it over and over and over and over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cleansing us and making us shine in ways that we can never ever imagine." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of reciting the Quran as often as possible. May Allah grant us the ability to be faithful to that companion, as that companion will be faithful to us every step of the way. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.